All right, so Ted is a world-class play-by-play guy. You see him doing college football, college basketball.
High school basketball. He's called Bronny.
Yes, that's my real claim to fame.
But also works, will freelance for the Westwood One Radio Network.
A Cumulus station.
And they will play your updates, so they employ you for the majors. You will be, you know, just giving your updates for stations across the nation. So this isn't just on our station. This is every major market, certainly a lot of minor markets. You are on the air somewhere giving these same updates. But because you're from here and because you're awesome, you work in Easter eggs just for us, for the Ticket P1. And you had been doing this for years. I think you went away from it for a little while, like, hey, I think I've done everything. But then we were at the compound, and we're all very fired up as we're hearing little comments about things that happened at the compound, like, yes, the hour prior. So that was amazing.
I was chatting with the P1. I was like, yeah, is the bit played out? On one hand, you think that, and then on the other, it's like, you guys provide so much new material. Like, the next month rolls around at a major. I couldn't do this every week, and you know, obviously nobody would carry golf updates every single week just for the majors. But, like, a month later, it's like, oh, man, I have a note on my phone with, okay, some words with Dan or something Jake said or something George did. And so it's like, man, there are so many new references that you have an opportunity to work in.
All right, Blake's going to play these for us from back at the station. So this is Ted's fine work last week.
Yes, so
we heard here in Dallas, but it was heard on hundreds of stations across the nation.
So you mentioned the compound, and so let's start with some of the compound themed Easter egg updates. This is from Thursday at 12:30.
Bradley through 7. Rory McIlroy struggling. 3 over through 10 without a birdie on the card, but Rory just 5 back. Jordan Spieth donkey kicks a 5-footer for bogey at 1, ends up with a double. He is now 2 over.
Of course, that morning is when George and Gordo, I believe, took the wireless out to meet the donkey they heard across at a neighboring farm.
Man, I never met the donkey.
Oh, man.
That's a regret I have.
You met the cat?
Did meet the cat, plenty.
Put the machine mask on to meet the cat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's another compound.
Fred Albers and Dennis Paulson, the call. Rose, the U.S. Open champion at Marion 10 years ago. That was at 16. Now it's 17. Rose over at the broadcast compound, well off the green.
Just right out in front.
Not a guy. You know what? It's a misstep.
Right.
Broadcast compound, Who's going to notice?
Yeah, no one is.
Who's going to notice?
The donkey kick thing seems weird.
No, I mean, that, but I don't really follow golf that closely, and if I were just casual sports listener in Duluth, Minnesota, I might hear that and be like, oh, Speed, that doesn't sound good. He donkey kicked
it.
And you hear terms like that in sports all the time.
You might think, that must be a term they're using.
Exactly.
Now
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
This you'll get if you follow Jake on Twitter. This was, Ted, I think some of your finer work.
The rain has picked up, by the way. We'll have even more rain tomorrow. Rory McIlroy said his recovery score on his sleep tracker was 22% the other day. Better than 2%, but he is battling illness. Rory plus 3.
I believe that was a discussion on the air as well, Jake.
Yeah.
And you tweeted the picture.
I did.
That's how I first came across it. And sure enough, it's like you guys wear the same thing, the loop deal.
I think I might have actually bought this because of golf.
Wow.
During COVID, I don't remember if it was Rory or not, but there was a guy who had a really terrible 2-day score and went to the doctor and there was something very wrong with him. Like, it wasn't like he got no sleep or something COVID related. Like, he had gotten COVID and had some sort of immunocompromised situation. It might have been Rory. But yes, it all comes back to golf.
It always does.
One more compound one.
22%, that is tough too, man. That you're feeling awful.
This was one of the funnier moments from compound, I think.
Right now, Bryson DeChambeau has the lead at 4 under. 6 birdies and 2 bogeys on the card today for DeChambeau, who has lost 18 pounds in the last year with a gluten and dairy-free diet, but still hits it plenty far compared to past people to win majors here at Oak Hill, like, say, Gary Middlecoff.
Yeah.
Did you stumble there? Were you just cracking yourself up?
Yeah, I just trying to hold it together there.
Corby.
And so that was that. I caught up on my compound after the fact, So I didn't catch Past People Live the night before, and Corby texted me and said, hey, did you hear about Past People? I think I was drinking, and might have said, like, you think? And like, yeah, I can come. Okay, I got the context. Okay. This is kind of a stretch talking about Carrie freaking middle cough in the middle of the 2023 PGA Championship, but he was a past winner at Oak Hill in a major, and fit it in, man.
Well, here's the context for Past People.
But they're like, they don't even know. It's like, you know, they press a button and a card comes out, and you're like, you're not going to believe this.
Or it could have been
you got a Hitler.
It could have been a caveman mauled by a saber-toothed tiger when
right.
it was like
right.
As old.
I would take
as
that chance.
But that could have been your ancestor.
People.
And then you wouldn't have happened.
With past people?
Yeah, so, no, you couldn't take that chance because it
Corby
could.
Corby doesn't understand death.
It could so.
He calls them past people.
You
I don't know where they
that.
Are now.
Butterfly effect. God, the sustain on the Corby laugh guitar there. That's when you know he is gone. I love that.
Was he drinking that night?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, a little bit.
I couldn't tell.
I think so.
Let's see, some that are related to our show. This has been our earworm recently.
Oak Hill hosting this major for a fourth time, and this year it's a totally different test. A totally different type of course after a remodel in 2019.
So good.
They're totally different movies. Totally different types of movies.
These next two, I think, are because of Dan's daughters.
Last year's Masters champion, Scottie Scheffler, slaying out in the first round. No bogeys, three birdies.
Nice.
Slay out, King.
Slay out, King.
That's right.
Here's another one.
It's just one of those places where you hit one shot, maybe barely off the line, and sometimes you can hit a good shot and end up in a place where it's pretty penalizing, and there's lots of tough holes out there, and you know, I'm just going to go out there and keep trying to hit good shots.
Big facts from last year's Masters champ, Bryson DeChambeau on top of
400. Or was that from
under.
The announcer? Who's
Well, in fact, it's facts. Your daughters and Mark Jones just talk the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
40 years apart.
That's right.
Victor Hovland now 4-under, back-to-back birdies at 1 and 2. A club pro actually contending at the PGA is about as rare as a Sasquatch sighting, but Michael Block, a head pro in Mission Viejo, California, is in the mix.
Do you feel like I'm pronouncing that correctly?
No.
Oh, you... Because I get a lot of support.
Yeah, in the upper Midwest. Which makes sense.
Yeah, that's where Sasquatch is.
I've never heard of
No, that's
Sasquatch.
Not right either.
Oh, Sasquatch. Well, right. It's upper.
Yeah, it is up. It's just more Pacific.
Oh.
Let's do two more here. This one, very well done.
I just love the idea, though, of Sasquatch just roaming in, like, through Iowa.
Through the cornfields.
Or West Virginia or something.
There'd be a lot more sightings if he lived there.
Yeah, Sasquatch from Appalachia.
So this one may need some explanation from Dan or Jake, but this is great.
Phil's in the clubhouse. Rahm is through 10 holes. Thomas through 12. And Jason Day is in trouble, falling down the leaderboard like a shower curtain that pops ring by ring. A double bogey at 6. Day plus 7.
I think that's an old story from the rant where
Dave, which was Davey retold
was in the bathroom
one night of the campground.
Okay, and that's the way Gordon described his bathroom fall.
Gordon went into full detail during the compound. I'd never heard it as the playlet before, and it's like, have to get that in.
Ring
somebody
by ring.
Sliding down the leaderboard.
Popping ring by ring. All right, last one. Your greatest work of the weekend.
At 3-under, 1 back, Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Sepp Straka, world number one John Rahm entered the Dunham zone today, leaking everywhere with 6 bogeys and a double, 6-over-76 for the reigning Masters champion.
I agree.
Will be hard to explain to the bosses.
So that is the one time in however many years we've been doing this, you know, 3 or 4, where my producer, who is from Dallas but is not a P1, kind of perked up, and after the update is finished, he said, is that the George Dunham zone?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's exactly what I thought. I just laughed nervously. He didn't press it, and he just said, man, how much longer do you think George is going to do it? He's been doing it for like 25 years.
Okay,
it's
so
like, oh, thank
right
God.
Right into P1 talk.
Yeah.
The Dunham zone.
Yeah, that one really... or thereabouts. Got one more Ted Emmerich PGA update.
Oh, no. What happened?
That wasn't played. And I heard this. I actually heard the Musers replay it a couple mornings ago. And I like them, thought, Ted, what are you doing? I want you to keep your job. So let's play it, and then we'll get inside the mind of the guy who gave this update on Westwood One, not just the ticket P1s, across the nation, dropping in Easter eggs for us. But let's see what this one's all about.
And no, oh, in the back door. Well, any entrance will do, Tradesman, side entrance, front, back. And that is delighted the fans. And Keegan Bradley birdies the second and moves to 3 under.
Yeah, who doesn't love the back door? Maureen Medill the call. So Bradley, 3 under, 2 off the lead.
It's a fair question.
Number one.
Very, very fair. Because it's almost rhetorical.
I never thought I'd be in a position of being just disappointed in Ted Emmerich. But here I am.
How so?
I just think you're above that. I really do.
Are you ready to write something to the UIL?
I can't stomach it, to be honest with you. It is kind of funny, though, because I hope that the text I'm about to read you doesn't offend you. I think it's a compliment.
Okay.
I have a couple of friends who are – are we both – how old are you?
35.
Okay, so I'm
I think.
About to be 38. I think these guys are both in their like early 30s on a group text, and – I don't think it was until we actually talked to him about his age, or maybe that he had a young child, that they realized he's not like 54.
Right. I get that a lot, and I'm flattered by it.
Because he just has the sound of gravitas for sports.
You have a demeanor, an aura.
Yeah, it's very grown up.
Yeah.
You know, and it has
here
been
in my shorts and revolver brewing t-shirt, yeah, a lot of gravitas.
But it's about...
You have just a smooth delivery. Just,
that's right.
You have... The
not
feeling
high,
of someone who's
low.
Been on the air, yeah, for 40 years.
I don't call people know. Bork and Corgi.
Right. So, yeah, that comes up a lot. People are like, man, I can't believe he's not been doing this for 35 years.
I wonder if it's broadcast father, because I've heard that exact same thing about Joe Buck.
Yeah.
My buddy.
Yeah, sure.
My buddy who works for Bally. Said he knew Joe Buck when Joe Buck was in his 20s, and he thought he was 50.
Yeah. You're around it. And I'm certainly not Joe Buck.
Much older people.
I would love to be Joe Buck one day. I love his work and look up to him quite a bit. Never met him, but love his work.
Why are you winking when you say that?
I did not.
Why are you crossing your fingers?
There's got to be something to just being around someone. You know, obviously he had Jack, and I had my dad, and, you know, who was not Jack Buck, certainly, but you're just around it. You absorb things.
Yeah, I mean, you know the way to comport yourself with a microphone in front of you. You know how to handle yourself on the air, and that's why you would never see the son of a legendary broadcaster, let's say, get fired for saying something on the air whenever he thought he was off the air during a baseball pregame show.
Well, actually, Thom Brenneman.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about his dad.
I think those are Marty. I think these are totally different situations.
They are, but I really needed to force that in there.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not the first backdoor joke that I've made on the air. A few years ago, I was doing a college basketball game with John Thompson III, who at the time was giving the
JT3,
of course. Was giving the analyst thing a try. He was, you know, done with Georgetown and was with ESPN, and we were doing a game at Madison Square Garden, and he made some point about, you know, some Princeton-like play, the backdoor pass, and JT3 himself, you know, he coached at Princeton at one time, working his way up, and had a lot of the Princeton principles in his playbook at Georgetown. And I said, you love the back door, don't you?
And didn't
he didn't
crack
say
up?
Anything.
Oh, okay.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, he's above that.
It's a little bit easier whenever you're doing it into a microphone or in a media center where nobody has to give you any reaction or anything like that. That can go differently.
I have one more golf note.
Okay. Well, this guy has had so much golf this week. I love it.
Well, and we're out at Colonial Friday, right?
He's been practicing his swing during the breaks.
Oh, yeah. That happened off the air. We never got that back to on the air.
Okay, so that's what...
Dude.
We talked about... Yeah. So, first of all, Ted is... You look like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction to me, just because...
Why?
I'm used to seeing you dressed up, and now you're wearing a T-shirt and shorts.
Yep.
And so it's like, you ever see your teacher?
Yeah.
Not in school?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're kind of, it's jarring a little bit.
I mean, it was even shocking for me during lockdown when he was putting out pictures of himself doing games from his house where he had the Dale set up, where he was wearing, like, swim trunks underneath his
underneath his suit
business
coat?
On top. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. You can get away with that when you're doing games from home.
I was asking you, what do you wear, you know, when you're covering the tournament?
Yeah.
Do you have to dress nice, or if you're at a golf course? And we were just talking about the fact that we've brought up before. It is a place where people covering the sport dress like people playing the sport.
Right.
Fans.
I mean, imagine it.
In fact, the only...
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's got to be the only sport where the media members dress like the athletes that they're covering. Like, imagine, you know, Jake, you said it, like John Machota, you know, showing up in, you know, shoulder pads and a helmet, you know, to cover a Cowboys game, right? Eye black. But yeah, I mean, you're wearing your polo. That's a golf shirt, Dan. You know, pants or shorts, whatever it may be, and that's the uniform. You're not, you know, I'm not dressing up in a full suit.
But also
SVP, who's actually on TV, or Nance, or anybody like that, who's at the 18th tower.
But also, golf media, almost all of them play golf.
Oh. You just ask them.
So
or
you're
just,
in,
just watch. You're, they're just, pre- man, that motion. Just,
so you're in the media center.
Oh, look at that backswing. Yeah,
and they just, are standing there just pretending that they're...
That cannot be real.
Dude.
Like they're taking practice swings with no club in their hands.
Yes. Yes.
In the media center.
Have you guys seen the commercial? I have no idea what the brand is, but the idea is, you know, we're all golfers. You know, and it shows people in everyday life.
Right.
Practicing the golf, so just in random moments, you know, getting on the subway or, you know, walking down the street, whatever it may be,
getting ready to mix
for
Why Today Doesn't
This
suck.
Doesn't make me like golf any, you know.
No,
but this Michael Block, he's one of us.
That's
but
right.
I do remember, and in fact the first place I met your dad, I think, was up in the in the Stars press box. He would cover Stars games sometimes and whatnot and tell us about great concerts he's been to. And
he would do that.
He actually – I met him because he got up behind me and he put his arms around me.
Uh-oh.
Because he wanted to he's like, okay, no. The slap shot, you pull it back.
Yeah.
Because we were practicing
what?
We were practicing one-timers. That's what the media does up in the Stars press box.
You can feel the clutches of his gloves.
Yeah, exactly. We're using one of those.